Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. On our way to talk to folks from Haiti, we are going to talk about what's going on in our own country, mining disaster that took place today. 25 people have died in this mining disaster, and we just saw recently a recent disaster in China as well. And we're going to talk to somebody who's been looking at these disasters academically and talk to somebody who's been in the midst of them as well in terms of his work. We are joined by phone right now by Mark Nowak, who we'll be having on a little bit later to talk about his book. He's author of the book Coal Mountain Elementary and Shut Up, Shut Down. He's director of the Rosie O'Neill Literary House at Washington College in Chestertown. Mark, welcome. Good to have you with us at last.
Thanks for having me on the show.
And we look forward to having you on to talk about your book.
And
soon we'll be joined by Chuck Nelson, who is a volunteer organizer with the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition based in Huntington, West Virginia, and is a former union deep miner himself. And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. This disaster is just amazing. And I'd like you to – I know one of the things you wrote in the email this morning was kind of drawing a connection between this and what happened in China. Talk about those thoughts first.
Sure. In the book itself, I talked about the Sago mine disaster and what was happening in China in 2005 and 2006 and drawing parallels between those. And I think the same parallels could be drawn today between what happened in West Virginia and what's happening in China almost every day. We heard the story of the rescue of a number of miners who were trapped underground in a flood, but almost each and every day coal miners perish in China. Sometimes it's two, sometimes it's five. It was 28 earlier this week in a different mine disaster. So this is something that, unfortunately, we're seeing on a global scale each and every day.
And what we're seeing, though, now, I mean, I wonder how much of this, from your perspective, whether it's China or America, is just what happens because of the dangerous nature of mining, or is, as some people have been pointing out, is kind of the callousness and the lack of following regulations that have allowed this to happen?
Well, I think that both in this situation and in the Sago situation, we see companies that are being cited for a number of mine safety regulation problems. And the same is true in the Chinese situation as well. Certainly, it's one of the dangers of underground mining, and it should make all of us think about our own consumption of electricity and what part in it in our own kind of electronic age and computer society with our laptops plugged in and our cell phones plugged in and everything else. So I think there's a number of levels at work here in terms of safety issues, our own consumption, environmental issues around coal, et cetera.
We're now being joined as well by Chuck Nelson, who is a volunteer organizer with the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition in Huntington, West Virginia, and is a former union deep miner. Chuck, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Sorry for what has happened in your backyard and with people you may know, families may be close to. Tell us where we are, what the latest news is.
Well, the latest news is that they have confirmed that 25, they have found 25 of them dead.
Hmm.
Two of them is in the hospital in intensive care, and four of them are still missing, which the rescue crew has went in. And they started getting into high levels of methane and a lot of toxic air, and so they brought the rescue team back out. And right now they are drilling, they're bulldozing a road up on the side of the mountain where they can drill four holes into the mountain to release some of this toxic air down in there and pump fresh oxygen down in these holes to where the rescue teams can advance in by there to look for the other four.
What I want to talk with you about when we come back from this very brief break, Chuck, and I'm glad you could join us along with Mark Nowak, is just the massive coal and what I've been reading, and you can verify or say it's not true about the establishment of that company, and also just to the violations that they have been cited with, but never fixed, and how this did or did not, from your perspective, lead to this disaster that led to the death of 25 men. Are they all men, by the way?
Yes, sir, they are all men. But, I mean, Massey's track record speaks for itself.
And we'll talk about that when we return. And we're going to take a very brief break, a very, very brief break, and come right back. Before we talk to the folks from Haiti, we're going to continue our conversation with Chuck Nelson in West Virginia, Mark Nowak, to talk about what's happened today in West Virginia. All part of our continuing series, sadly, today, but a continuing series looking at mountaintop removal and what's going on in the life of West Virginia. More about that over the next month as well. Stay with us. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We are joined now by Mark Nowak, author of Coal Mountain Elementary and Shut Up, Shut Down, and director of the Rose O'Neill Literary House at Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland, and Chuck Nelson, who is a volunteer organizer with the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition based in Huntington, West Virginia, and a former union deep miner himself. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. Chuck, let's just turn back here for a moment and just talk a bit about this, what you all have been doing, and this kind of battle you've had with Massey Energy that owns this mine that where the disaster took place.
Massey is the fourth largest coal producer in the United States, and they're the leader, the leading producer and coal company in Appalachia. And they have went to move a lot from deep mining into what they call mountaintop removal. And, I live right in the heart of this, what's going on. And, it's the worst environmental disaster that's happening in the world today. It's not only an environmental issue, it's a human rights issue. Because, there's people's water, 90% of the people here are on well water. Which, they've relied on for over 100 years. There's no better water than coming from mountain streams. And this is where they get their drinking water. And now that where they blow the top of the mountains up and, they expose all these heavy metals and they shove everything over into the valleys. What was once the stream is gone. I mean, they've already buried over 2,000 miles of stream. They've destroyed close to 1.5 million acres of hardwood forest. And this is some of the oldest mountain ranges in the world, the Appalachian Mountain Ranges. And we are a seedbed for the rest of the country. We supply water to the whole East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And, what's happened with people here is that their well water's been contaminated with these heavy metals, which they've gotten into their bodies. And we see large clusters of brain tumors. In one little community I've been working in Printer, West Virginia, 80% of the people in that community had their gallbladder took out.
Really? 80%?
80% of the people that live in that community had their gallbladder took out. There's been a lot of kidney failure. People in that has liver problems. We just lost a 22-year-old boy with kidney cancer, and the only thing he did was drink a gallon of Kool-Aid from his tap water every day, and it showed as a three-part series on Channel 8 News in Charleston, and it interviewed him in the hospital, and it showed him where he had chemo, all of his hair had fallen out, and he said that, the water was what made him sick, and before they could air this, he was 22 years old, he had already passed away, and I've lost friends with brain tumors who I grew up with, and I have family there, but it's not just in one place. It's starting to pop up in all different types of places, and it's destroying our communities. It's depopulating. They're just coming in, buying communities out, which has been there for over 200 years, and just tearing the houses down, burning the houses down. And some of these yards of these people that lived here has cemeteries sitting in them. And so they're practically destroyed. They decimate these cemeteries. It's been there for hundreds of years. And, we've been fighting this for years. And the only reason they do it is to maximize the industry's profit. They do it with a lot less men. When I worked in the mines in the 70s and 80s, we had 150,000 coal miners in West Virginia. Today we have less than 17,000 coal miners in West Virginia because most of them are on mountaintop removal sites. But, you know, the impact that that mountaintop removal has on the environment is forever. It'll never recover from it wipes out entire ecosystems and aquatic life. Anywhere it was a valley fill, it wipes out all aquatic life. We have a lot of problems with flooding in our area because there's nothing there on top of the mountain to soak in the rain. All that is gone. It's just solid rock. And we have all this runoff bringing all the heavy metals with it. But, you know, that's... And I spoke about Massey's track record on these on their violations. I know 2 years ago that the federal EPA came in here and went through the same areas that our West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection Agency goes through, and that's their job to protect the communities and the people. And they found Massey, just one company, Massey Energy, of violating the Clean Water Act 6,500 times. And fined them $20 million. It was the highest fine ever imposed by the federal EPA. This was 2 years ago. Since then, they've already committed 12,000 more Clean Water Act violations. And it seems like that fines and anything don't have anything to do with it because they make it up through for the profit of the coal. They don't mind paying these fines.
And this is the Massey is the energy company is the one that owns the mine that just had the disaster.
Yeah, Massey owned it and mines that just had the disaster. It was deep mines, and this used to be all Union territory here till Massey came in here in the mid '80s and early '90s and busted the Union, and now it's practically all non-Union. I worked 21 and a half years as a Union miner. And then I spent like 7 to 8 years with Massey before I ended up being disabled. But, you know, when I worked for Massey, the first thing that we did when we got to the working section, and I was on a miner section, I run a shuttle car, is that the first thing we'd do, we would destroy our ventilation system. We would take all our line curtain down, which, you know, your line curtain's what supplies air to the working faces. That's what keeps the dust off the miners working up in the face area, and it also dilutes the methane and carries it outside the mines, you know, down the return escapeway. So, you know, the explosion that happened down here yesterday, there hasn't been a full investigation done, but, you know, they had violations on their ventilation system. I'm not saying that they're doing the same things that they did when I worked there, but I knew this was going to happen. I knew it was going to, you know, they can't continue mining like this and putting people's life in jeopardy without something bad happening, and it happened yesterday.
And before I come back, Chuck, and ask you another question before we have to go to the next segment, because I really wanted to let you talk, say everything you had to say, because I think that it's important for listeners here on the East Coast to understand what's really going on in Appalachia and how connected we are to all this. I'm sorry?
We're all connected. Anytime that you flip a light switch on or you turn an appliance on, you know, probably your coal's coming from Appalachia, probably from our backyard, from, mountains being blown up. And, you know, they say that coal is cheap, but it's not so cheap. I mean, we have to live here. People have to deal with all these health impacts.
But, I mean,
when you start adding in all the external costs, it's not cheap at all.
And we're battling that battle in Maryland now with the transmission line going across from Western Maryland, West Virginia to the ocean, which is we'll be doing some shows about, which is directly tied to the coal industry. But before we do run out of time here, Mark Nowak, let me bring you back. And I'm curious if you make a connection between this and what you see what's going on with coal between here and China and the rest of the world.
I think that, this news comes out when there's a large disaster in the United States or maybe that large disaster in China. But I just want to remind people that this is an everyday occurrence everywhere in the world. This year alone, there have been mine disasters in Indonesia, in Turkey, in the Georgian Republic, in the Czech Republic, in South Africa, elsewhere. It happens every single day. It doesn't always make the news, but unfortunately, miners are losing their lives every single day around the world.
So I wonder, both of you, just real quick, Chuck and then go to Mark, and if your ideas about what the future then is. I mean, Chuck, I know that you want to see mountaintop removal stop. We all do. I think, and I wish we get the president to kind of say, yes, it has to end. But what do you think, as a man who grew up in the mines, whose family are miners, what do you think the future is? Do you think that mining is something we should just end up figuring out how to stop and build something new?
Well, yeah. We just can't pull the plug on coal right now because we're not there yet. We should already been there 30 years ago, but we haven't because the coal industry has beat down technology. What we need to do is to look at energy efficiency and renewables and transition out coal and do away with coal because and Mark was right, he's talking about. It affects everybody. A lot of people don't know that there's 24,000 Americans die each year just from the emissions from coal-fired power plants prematurely. And nobody sees that. Nobody hears that. That should be on every front page of every newspaper. Nobody talks about the mercury. One out of every five women have so much mercury in their wombs now that if they would have a child, that it would have birth defects in autism, blindness, kidney, liver disease. And it's the same mercury that's coming out of these coal-fired power plants. And a lot of people, well, we had some big winters here this year, and a lot of people say, that's a big hoax. But, we should start phrasing it climate crisis instead of global warming. Because the climate crisis is saying that you're going to have dramatic changes in your weather patterns, and that's exactly what we're experiencing right now.
So, and Mark, again, I wonder what your thoughts on that, but what the future is.
Well, I agree with much of what Chuck said. I think that reduction of our consumption of electricity is huge. I think putting more investment in alternative energy is huge. Certainly, as we've heard, stopping mountaintop removal mining is huge. But it's very difficult when we live in a country that even our own president has called the Saudi Arabia of coal. This is going to take time. It's going to take really concerted effort so that we don't see what happened in West Virginia this week and what we see happening around the globe happen again.
Chuck Nelson and Mark Nowak, I do appreciate you both being part of the show today. And Chuck, we're looking forward to having you on very soon again. And we'll be back up there in West Virginia to visit with you all and continue to get this story to the rest of the country and to our listeners here. And thank you for everything you do up there. And our hearts are with you, and condolences to all the families who lost men in that mining disaster.
Well, thank you, Mark, and I thank the people that's listening, and just keep everybody in their prayers and thoughts. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Take care of yourself, Chuck. And Mark Nowak, we look forward to bringing you on the air soon to talk about your book, Coal Mountain, and we appreciate you being able to take the time with us today, and glad you've moved to Maryland to work with us here at Washington College.
Thanks, Mark. And again, my condolences as well to everyone out there in West Virginia.
And we will continue this story. On Earth Day, we're going to be talking between West Virginia and Wales, which is trying to change from coal to clean energy, and talk about how they're doing it there and learn some lessons between Appalachia and Wales. Maybe America can learn some lessons from that conversation as well. We're going to take a very brief break. When we come back, we are joined by the great Haitian-American author Edwidge Dantacat, Madison Smart Bell, the great American author who wrote the trilogy about the Haitian Revolution, and Mano Charlemagne, very famous Haitian folk singer and political activist who used to be mayor of Port-au-Prince. Stay with us as we check in on Haiti in just a moment.